The problem a law firm has is they're not known. Enough people don't know who they are. And so you're not going against perfection of the content. It's, you need to get your message out there over and over and over again in front of as many people as possible. So if you don't want a bunch of clicks and leads that are crap leads, low quality, then there's something broken there where your site or your content or your brand, whatever, is just not doing its job. So you need to look at that and improve those things.
Welcome to Trial Lawyer View, the podcast dedicated to the fierce yet compassionate lawyers who fight every day for justice in the courtroom. Our guests are top trial lawyers and their firms who share their stories and experiences, offering valuable insights into their journey, as well as expert guests who provide actionable strategies and practical tips for personal injury lawyers looking to optimize their operations, enhance client service, and drive growth in their practices. Trial Lawyer View is brought to you by Synergy. At Synergy, we aren't just a service provider. We are a strategic partner for personal injury law firms, seamlessly integrating with law firms to boost efficiency from day one. Outsourcing cumbersome administrative tasks like lien resolution and Medicare compliance to an expert partner like Synergy enables personal injury firms to focus on what they do best.
Welcome to another episode of Trial Lawyer View, where I'm joined by Kevin Daisy. I'm excited to welcome Kevin, the award-winning founder and chief marketing officer of Array Digital. With over two decades of experience in digital marketing, Kevin has become a leader in helping personal injury law firms navigate the ever-changing world of online marketing. His expertise in SEO, website design, content marketing, and online advertising has driven impressive results for clients. Kevin is known for his ability to stay ahead of digital trends and his unwavering commitment to delivering measurable results that increase ROI. Whether it's through his leadership at Array Digital or his contributions to the Hampton Roads Technology Council, Kevin's impact in the digital space continues to shape the marketing strategies of successful companies. In this episode, we explore all that is marketing related for personal injury law firms, including evolution in digital marketing, website development keys for PI firms, client journeys, SEO, AI, and paid advertising. Kevin, welcome to Trial Lawyer View. Thank you for the gift of your time today.
Yeah, Jason, thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
So you're a digital marketing expert and you've got extensive experience in the legal sector with a focus in personal injury firms. How have you seen the role of digital marketing evolve for law firms over, say, the last decade?
That's a good question. Yeah, absolutely. So I've been doing this since 2006, you know, when I started my first agency, and I was not focused on legal or even personal injury at that time. But so I've been doing this a while. And I did have lawyers as clients really way back. And so kind of seen, you know, the life cycle of that and how things have changed. And, you know, I think the main thing that I've seen is with SEO, organic, you know, that specifically, that's kind of our wheelhouse, is there's a lot of mystery out there. And so, you know, I've seen where, you know, the agencies are, you know, they kind of hide behind, hey, you know, it's SEO, it's Google, and we can't control things and, you know, don't really know what's going on. You see, like, from the law firm, not really have an education around what this stuff is and kind of just paying agencies to do it, check the box, and they should be doing it. You know, I talk to lawyers and attorneys, PI, all the time, that fifth agency just left, you know, an agency every other year, and they're kind of flip-flopping around. And so I was just seeing a lot of change in the law firms taking more ownership and responsibility of education and having a part in all this, because if a client hires us, the law firm has to be part of this. We have to have marketing folks on their side internally or the lawyers themselves to be involved, to understand it, because, you know, the agency can't just do everything. It's the firm brand, it's the message, it's the clients and the leads and the intake. There's just a lot of moving parts there. So I feel like back in the day, you know, it was more like, okay, hire us, we do this thing. And there's this meeting once a month or once a quarter that's like, okay, agency, how'd you do? And it was either good or bad. And it was just really this disconnected type of process. Luckily, I get to hang out with a lot of cool lawyers. I have my own podcast and I talk to some of the best attorneys in the country. And, you know, there's a lot of education, there's a lot of conferences, there's a lot of masterminds. There's a lot of places out there that you can get help and understand this stuff and learn from others. So So I've just seen a lot of that, and it's kind of nice to see that it's kind of come closer together. And I'd like to see more of that, to be honest with you. So,
are there any specific trends that have really drastically changed the way law firms approach online marketing that you've seen?
Well, obviously video and social media have been huge because, and unfortunately I still see this a lot today, but law firms typically were, you know, maybe their photo on their website, and they, you know, a lot of lawyers that knew back in the day didn't really want to be, their websites were pretty bland. They didn't want to be too much in the limelight other than your TV commercials and stuff like that. So, but who the lawyer is and seeing them and hearing them, you know, was really not something that law firms were doing. They weren't putting a video of themselves on their website. They weren't on TikTok or Instagram where you could see in them in a normal setting versus like your very polished, you know, commercial type video, right? Walking up and down the steps at the courthouse and stuff like that. So, or screaming on the TV. So I feel like, you know, we've humanized, you know, lawyers are more humanized, and they have social accounts and they have following, and they're teaching and educating the public through more raw video and getting to say, hey, you know what? I feel like I can make a connection with this lawyer. And then also not just the owners, but other lawyers within a firm have their own brands and they're building their own, you know, followings as well and being very successful at that. So if that's been a massive trend and a massive change as far as, you know, that connection with who the lawyer is versus like that old school, like, you know, gatekeeper style, like, you know, you'll never meet the attorney and that's the owner and things like that. So that's been nice to see.
Yeah, I know something recently that came up, wanted to ask you about it, where Google deleted some of people's online reviews, particularly personal injury law firms. And I'm curious, well, just about overall, your thoughts on Google reviews and the importance of that, but specifically like things like that, that can impact a firm when they lose those types of things that are so vital in terms of people vetting.
Yeah. So that was a big issue. So that we kind of started to see across clients, and then we ourselves, I check my stuff all the time, my agency reviews, and I work to get them as often as I can. We're not high volume, like, you know, for us, it's, you know, we get a couple here and there because if we work with law firms, but I noticed that ours had dropped and I saw clients chatting about it. And so early on, we saw something that was going on. So yeah, our clients across the board, even us as an agency, lost a ton of reviews. And, you know, we made some thoughts on maybe why it could be happening. We know Google's always trying to crack down on fake reviews and things like that. And honestly, we have clients that have reviews that weren't intended for them that you can't get removed half the time, yet they're fighting hard against, you know, fake reviews and ones that aren't legitimate. So our first thought was that, and there's some real truth to this probably, is say that I asked you, Jason, hey, would you please give me a review? And you're like, oh, I don't have a Google account. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to be real nice to Kevin. So I'm going to go make a Google account just for the review, and I'm never going to use it again. And so a lot of what Google was looking at too is these accounts that were never used again, 3 or 4 years, never been logged into, but they left one review for somebody. So that's kind of getting flagged as a potential fake review or a paid review. And so I could see that there'd be some legitimacy to that. But come to find out, it was really just a bug, and Google put out a message. They've reinstated most of the reviews for most people. I know that my agency reviews are back up to the number that they should be at. So I would say if you're listening, or yourself, Jason, you know, if you had a good handle on reviews, or if you posted about it and you kind of knew where you were, go check and make sure. If not, you need to reach out to Google support. And if you have any issues, but a big issue, because as an agency, right, we're telling our clients, get reviews, consistently get reviews. You need to have a process internally. Like when you get a lead, how do you make sure it's a 5-star review and a referral source at the end? And that's a big thing, right? And so if Google starts to lose trust, do people start to turn to other systems to leave reviews on? And I can see that being a concern. So.
Well, since we're sort of on the topic of the importance of online presence, I know one of your key areas of focus is website development, personal injury law firms. Can you talk about, one, how important is the law firm's website in terms of the client journey and getting them to become a client and any common mistakes that you see in terms of the design of a website that could impact success in attracting and then signing clients?
Good. That's a good question. So obviously at the root of what I do anyway, for any clients, is the website is the most important piece, right? So how it's built, structured, the content. So you talk about SEO and the value of that. I'll start with, you know, SEO is not just what you hire me to do or write content or whatever. It's literally everything that's online that can be mentioned about you or your firm, LinkedIn, news articles, anything, everything. It's all SEO. Your reputation, your reviews, it's all SEO. And so when you say I'm going to pay for SEO, it's probably pieces of those things, but the law firm itself has effect on SEO and what they're doing in the marketplace, what they're doing for their clients, how they're picked up in news. So SEO is so much more than just a line item on an invoice. So I'll start with that. The website is, even if they're referred to you, say Jason, someone's referred to you, you're still going to probably go take a look at their online profile, their reviews. It's a big decision. Who am I going to hire? The website is just at today, as long as websites are still a thing, a place that they're probably going to visit to take a look at, are you who they said you were? Can they make some connection and do you do what they need, right? So a website is still very important in delivering those couple things. And if you think about a buyer's journey, like if you're buying a car, like what things do you need to make that decision? And how do we make sure we understand the client of the law firm and what do they need to take that next step, whether it's a phone call or form fill or chat, whatever it may be. And we just want to make sure that those things are relevant and they're there. And then there's all conversion tactics, like I want to make sure that they connect with the lawyer. So if there's video, they can hear you, see you. If you have a podcast, right, that you're human, that they say, you know what? Jason's approachable. I like what he's saying. He looks like he has the experience and his reviews are good. Then, you know, you got a winning strategy right there. So I think that's what a website should do for you. As far as design, people are just used to certain things. So keep it clean and simple. Don't try to go over the top. Don't be flashy. And then and I hate when I see the menu, the header stays and you scroll down and half the page is viewable. So just make it clean, simple call to action, not cluttered. Give people one solid action they can take. So, and then track it and improve it. You know, you should be every month going, hey, what should we do? I see that people are interacting with this, but not that. Make improvements. It should be constantly improving the sites you have.
I was thinking about the client journey and just my own experience when I'm trying to vet a potential service provider and how crucial the experience is online in terms of me making a decision about whether to work with a particular vendor or service provider. What are the most effective ways a law firm can enhance that experience online, particularly during the early stages of contact with a potential client, and what role does the content that's digitally there play in that process?
That's a really good question there. So first off, yeah, put yourself as a lawyer in your client's shoes, as if you're going to hire an HVAC company or anything else, or yourself, right? What would you need to know to make a decision and, put those things out front? The other thing is, reputation is everything. It's going to get leaked everywhere, right? So if it's good or bad. And so if you're referred on Facebook or through LinkedIn or wherever it may be, when I work on reputation, do good work. From there, the content. So when you think about SEO or your website content, if it sounds like it's written for Google for SEO and keywords, then that's not helpful to the person reading it. You should be not focused on writing content that just gets you ranked on Google. Because what if people do find it? And what if they do find the page? And I tell people this all the time. Like, I have lawyers that are like, hey, our brand is awesome. It's the best thing in the world. Okay, have you read your blogs? Have you read the content? Well, I don't care about that. I just need content out there. Well, when they find the answer? So I'm looking for the statute of limitations for car seat laws in Florida, whatever. Whatever that top of funnel question they might be asking. What if they do read the content and interact with it? Is it helpful? Is there a video version of it? Is it giving them the answers quickly and saying, you know what, you don't have to read all this stuff. Like, here's the meat of it. Here's what you need to know. Reach out to us if you have any questions, right? There's a chat. You know, hey, you got a question? Let us know. We're right here 24/7. We'll answer the phone. You know, give them that support they need, because at the end of the day, they don't want to read that whole dang thing anyway. So think about the user first, and that's what Google's doing. Is this helpful to the user? Because they don't care about you. The user's their client. And if your site is feeding them a bunch of SEO keyword crap and everyone else is too, then Google starts to lose trust with the user using their service. So they want to put the people at the top that have helpful, unique, human-written content that is going to be unique and helpful to them. So sorry for the long answer.
No, that's great. And that's part of, you know, what we do in our space is try to educate lawyers and even the personal injury victims about lien resolution related issues, because it's complex. And, you know, when you're looking for answers and looking for a starting point, it's very important in terms of when I find someone, like when I'm searching for something that has relevant content, that's incredibly important to me as part of my decision-making process. So it's great advice. You've talked a bit about SEO and content, which are very critical components to all of this. But how can a law firm optimize their SEO strategy to ensure that they stand out in a crowded market? Because, like, for example, here in Orlando, you've got Morgan & Morgan, you've got Newland, you've got some really big advertisers are spending so much money. The question is, you know, what strategies does a firm that is competing in these very competitive and crowded spaces use to ultimately stand out?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We help a lot of smaller firms too. I've been working hard on trying to be able to offer some things that, you know, if solo or a few person firm that we can help. But they're up against a lot of competition. And if you're just starting, right, which congrats and do it, go out there. I love being an entrepreneur, but you will be up to some challenges. So, you know, there's things you can do. You know, if you're solo and you have, you know, no funds and you need to be doing it yourself, you know, learn, educate yourself. There's lots of resources out there for sure. If you have budget and you're working with an agency, even, you'll still be up against people spending 100 times what you possibly can, probably, for some markets. So I would say do your research. And, you know, a couple tips here. One, office location. Google Business Profile is super important. So first off, setting one of those up, optimizing it, picking the category you want to be in. So if it's PI, like, just don't be a general lawyer. Make sure it's not, you know, it's very specific. Work on that reputation, getting reviews. But choose your office location wisely. You can do some research. If all the law firms are downtown Orlando, don't be there. Where are the people that are in car accidents, where they live? Where's the population? Find an office location that's probably less, you know, more affordable, less flashy, but it'll gain you more leads just by proximity versus where Morgan & Morgan's office is going to be. So think about location, which is could be a massive difference whether or not you're getting some leads in that neighborhood area. I mean, Orlando is huge, right? Just using that as an example. So that's one tip. You can also ask someone like me or an SEO person, like, hey, where should I put my office? Versus, I like this building, so I want to go here. Do you want leads or do you want it to be competitive? So that's one tip. The other is content. You need to get content out there. Video, YouTube. If you look at Google right now, search for any kind of question, not a high intent, like PI attorney me or personal injury attorney. If you're answering questions, there's in Google, you have people also asked, you have what people are saying, you have Google YouTube videos that come up. There's a lot of areas that are non-sponsored. I just posted an article this morning on LinkedIn, lawyer SEO. If you Google lawyer SEO right this second today, that's February 18th, I'm on the first page. So I just posted an article this morning. LinkedIn's got a lot of reach, right? And so there's things you can be doing to get in these other areas that Morgan & Morgan's and these other firms are not paying attention to, that have more instant results. They're not going to be high intent and like top of Google Ads and, you know, all these other places that you might have to pay for. But you have to start figuring out, where are the holes? Where can I fit in and start to get just pieces of the marketplace? of my market. And there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of things that you can do, but you're going to have to be writing some content and producing stuff, get on a schedule. If you can't hire this out completely, then you need to, as an attorney, figure out how you're going to sort your day and be pumping out, answering questions and stuff like that. So
before we got on the podcast, you mentioned Bob Simon, who was recently part of a webinar we put on, and he was talking about AI trends for personal injury law firms. And he also talked a bit about some tools he uses for his video content, which he's got great video content on social media. But I'm curious, what you're seeing in terms of AI and its relevancy in digital marketing and the impact on law firm marketing strategies, and whether there are any AI-powered tools or trends that law firms should be looking at to stay ahead of their competition right now.
Yeah. So, I think as a marketer or like SEO, it's like, oh, AI, don't use it. I would say don't use it for like writing your main website copy. Obviously, you can get it to start and get you a good outline and do some research, but make sure it's your brand, your voice. And I think that's the biggest thing. If someone's reading it, is it your brand, your voice, and is it going to convince them to use you? Right. And so AI is not going to write copy that's going to probably do that for you, but it's a good start. And so I would say human oversight, editing, ABA guidelines, things like that, that you need to make sure you take care of. If it's going to be like, again, web page copy for like your practice area pages, you can leverage AI, but just don't use it solely. But for like content, social media, video clips, I have a podcast, of course, Opus Clip, there's all kinds of tools that can get the content out there. And here's the thing, like, when it comes to this kind of content, raw content, video content, quantity over quality is kind of my way to go. And so the problem a law firm has is they're not known, right? They're not, enough people don't know who they are. And so you're not going against perfection of the content. Is you need to get your message out there over and over and over again in front of as many people as possible. So I would say leverage those tools, Opus Clip. There's posting tools. There's a tool called Maker. Actually, a friend of mine, Carrie Kobe White, she does intake for law firms, has a whole process where it takes her book and her articles and everything that she's written, and then OpenAI takes a look at that and it creates 5 posts every single week, and it writes for every platform and then spits out the images, the clips, the photos, the post type, everything. And all she has to do is, approve, and then it schedules it and posts it all. And so if you don't have time and you're solo, there's no reason at this point where you can't learn AI. You better start learning AI and leveraging it. But be careful too. Obviously, a law firm, when it comes to like automating stuff with inside the firm, that's a different story. But leveraging AI for content and repetitiveness and ideas. And even like you can have avatars now, right? That you can just feed it scripts and it looks like you, sounds like you, and you can put it on autopilot. So, I think, like Bob Simon and stuff like that. Yeah, he's in front of the camera. He's just doing stories. He's walking around. So he's doing the real stuff all day long as well, but I'm sure he's leveraging tools to scale that for him.
So you're just talking about it. I'm curious, in terms of content strategy for personal injury law firms that drives high engagement and ultimately conversion, is video, you think, the one of the most effective ways to do that? Or are you a proponent more of written strategies, or is it just a combination of all of those to really execute?
I mean, it's a combination because, some of the things I mentioned, or I just wrote an article, I wrote it last night. I scheduled it to be published on LinkedIn newsletter. So I have a LinkedIn newsletter, which most people don't know about. And that gets, it's getting 3,000 views and it's on the first page of Google within the next morning, right? So it'll go away because it's kind of more timely content. But that's the written word was how I got there. And it shows a picture of me too, by the way. It's like not just Google's got like all the text spots and it's like I get a photo. So Google Ads don't even give you that. So, but that's content, right? Video, you have YouTube videos that will come up in those spots. YouTube itself is a search engine, second largest search engine in the world. And I'll give a quick story. I don't know if you know Jeff Hampton. Jeff Hampton's a friend of mine. been on my podcast. He's actually a criminal defense lawyer. He has YouTube videos and he's in Texas. And so he makes geo-targeted videos. So gun charges in Dallas, Texas, what do I do, blah, 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 right? Not only has he produced $1.2 million a year in income from YouTube, 50% of his law firm leads across the board come from his YouTube videos. So again, very specific. Hey, what happens if I do this? YouTube video comes up. He has all his information and tracking numbers in his YouTube video in the descriptions, and they're generating most of his leads. And again, they're geo-targeted, where, again, I think most lawyers say, hey, I'm dancing around on TikTok. I got a lot of views, but how many cases in my state specific to what I do does it produce? Where he's narrowed it down to be like very data-driven and producing actual leads to his firm. And you put those on a webpage that's copy to rank for SEO. You put the video. You get a bump because of that. And then they also get to hear and see him. So there's a conversion tactic of likability, trust, experience that that video helps convert that person versus a page without a video. So I think it's a little bit of everything, but I would say video is a major piece here that most firms are not taking advantage of.
Awesome advice. Well, since you mentioned it, what's the name of your LinkedIn newsletter? So perhaps we get more eyes on it from people that are listening.
I appreciate that. So I have the Managing Partners podcast, which you can't see the whole thing here. And then I have the Managing Partners newsletter. I do that by email every week. And then there's the LinkedIn version. We got about 3,000 subscribers there. But yeah, the Managing Partners newsletter. If you go to my profile, Kevin Daisy, you should see it like within my profile there. So
yeah, I've got a newsletter too that I started called Peak Practice. And, you know, obviously that any content that you can create that starts to drive some interest in your brand or in what you do is, it's such an easy way to reach. And because of the Google rankings too, you know, if somebody happens to be searching, that's the perfect time for you to be right there at the top of the list, right?
Well, yeah. Then if they do go look at the newsletter, they see other things you've answered and other things that you've shared advice on. And LinkedIn, I'll say this is just for the right now audience. The LinkedIn newsletter is somewhat newer, but man, it works very quickly and it distributes, you know, it'll distribute to all your subscribers to their email box. And I'm getting picked up in what people are saying in Google for everyone I post. Same day. So again, for a lawyer, for a high intent, like personal injury lawyer near me, it won't come up. But if it's a question focused type of, a question search, then those things are coming up. And so again, another advantage for a smaller firm, you know, use LinkedIn. Like people are on LinkedIn and other lawyers are on LinkedIn, of course, but you know, you'd be surprised how many good things I hear from lawyers that spend time on LinkedIn, a lot of personal injury lawyers.
So you mentioned your podcast, the Managing Partners podcast, and you've had some amazing guests and spoken with some top legal minds about a lot of different topics. I'm curious what insights you've gained from those conversations that you believe could be beneficial for law firm leaders that maybe, you know, listening to the podcast are looking to grow and scale their firms in today's very competitive digital landscape.
The podcast has been just amazing for me. I think it's 3 or 4 years running. I need to probably check in on that. And we're, you know, 360 plus guests, mostly owners or experts. But yeah, some of the top lawyers, you know, in the industry, Jen Gore, Ben Glass, Ken Hardison, Bob Simon. So I've been fortunate to have that experience. And so for me, you know, I own businesses. I have 50 plus employees. And even though I don't own a law firm, the cool part is it's all transferable, right? And so on my podcast, it's an entrepreneurship podcast. It's not a marketing podcast. And so we talk about leadership, culture, intake, hiring, sales, brand, personal brand versus your company brand. We've just covered so much stuff, and that's the cool part. You can kind of find a topic on pretty much anything from some of the most successful PI and other lawyers out there. Again, I get to just be there to be part of it and to learn and to apply it to my business at the same time. And so, again, if you can't find something on my podcast, it's all broken down by, you know, types of episodes, or even I think we even have it broke down by what kind of law and what state. So if you want a CPI for owners in Florida, you know, you can sort by that and probably find 50 episodes, right? So try to make it very user friendly and good information, but invaluable lessons from very smart lawyers that have solved a lot of the issues that many of you may be facing, whether you're a solo or if you're at a larger scale, you know. And so to sum it all up, I don't really know. I mean, it's just, again, it's, you know, we all go through different places in our business, you know, and breakpoints. One attorney might find value in one episode, the other might not find any value at all. So I think it's, you know, pick and choose, and hopefully there's some good content on there for you.
And dead on the experiences I've had over the last several years doing this podcast in terms of what I've learned from guests, particularly, you know, they're more of a focus on growth and scaling law firms, which obviously your area of expertise is critical, is executing properly on the marketing side. But what I've listened to and heard is invaluable just for me personally in terms of what we do here at Synergy and how we go about things too. Yeah. So very much similar experience, and really enjoy this part of what I do is getting to talk to people like you who know a lot about these areas and can really offer listeners some great tips, which you've done an excellent job. I wanted to ask you about paid advertising because, you know, I know that there's a lot of dollars that flow into that. What are some common mistakes you see law firms making when they're doing paid ads, and how can a law firm, personal injury law firm, ensure they're getting the most out of their advertising dollar and staying within the ethical rules?
For sure. No, that's a great question. I lean into organic and content a lot because I hate to see my law firms that are only stuck in paid and they're not investing in the other stuff. So when doing paid, you know, some of the things I mentioned, like the website or the copy or the information and how it's presented, gets even more important because now you're paying, direct paying for someone to come look at your website or come to you to wherever you want them to go. I'll just use, like, you know, PPC or Google Ads as an example. Now you're literally going, hey, pay me, go look at my website, and then I don't even know what happened from there, and hopefully you'll convert it. So now everything just heightens a little bit. You got to dial it in even more. And so a couple tips. One, back to the content in your website. Those things become way more important. So who's your ideal customer, right? Your brand, like, who are you looking for? Do you have that dialed in? And geographically, like, who are you talking to? Because when they come there, if you don't want a bunch of clicks and leads that are crap leads, low quality, then there's something broken there where your site or your content or your brand, whatever, is just, it's not doing its job. So you need to look at that and improve those things. Like, who do you want to work with? And why would they choose you? Or why would you detract them if they're not a fit? So make sure that's straight. Or you'll just spend a bunch of money and get a bunch of crap leads. Market agency fails. You move on to someone else, and the process repeats. The other thing with paid ads, make sure you have dedicated landing pages for every single ad type. So if it's truck accidents, don't send them to a personal injury page. Don't send them to a car accident page. Like, have a truck accident page, separate that out and make it very specific. So that way, if I'm looking for a white Mercedes 550, like, I don't just go straight to the homepage of the Mercedes dealership, like when I clicked on an ad for that car. Be very specific. And then Google, here's the other thing, is Google scores your ads on how they're written and how they relate to the keywords that you say you want to show up for. So you got an ad score. Then Google rates your landing page. Okay, you want these keywords. The ad copy says this. And then we're going to send them to this page. Let's do an analysis of that. And you get a landing page score. The lower those scores are, the more you pay per click and the less your budget will go. Optimize those two things at the highest level and your lower budget, let's say, will go farther and you have a chance to outbid your competitors because they're not hitting those marks. And that's where you can kind of slip in and start to get a little performance. So those are just two tips there. But know who you want to serve and then make sure those two things are, you know, ask your agency or whoever, like, hey, what are our landing page scores? What are our ad scores? And that right there alone can save you a ton of money and time.
Great. I had not heard that specifically on the landing page scoring before. That's very interesting because we do that. So now I got something else I need to look at.
Don't send any ads to your organic pages. So if I have my car accident attorney page, I'm trying to rank right for Google, and I have certain things on that page that's extensive information, FAQs, all this stuff. The landing page shouldn't be all that. It should be a non-indexed landing page for PPC ad for that one ad, and that's it. And so give them what they need there, keep them on that page, and make sure that's dedicated. Again, not indexed, separate from your organic page. And a lot of people just do that. Well, I got a car accident page, so I'll send them there. Or I'll just send them the home page. That's even worse. But yeah, you got to separate those things completely out.
Well, you've been very generous with your time. I have one final question I always ask guests, and it's open-ended, so answer it however you want. As a legal digital marketing expert, what's your view? And it's open-ended. So if we haven't talked about something you think that's important or you want to reemphasize something that we've talked about, great.
No, I appreciate it. First off, just, I appreciate you having me on here to share and to talk about what I care about and mention in my podcast and stuff like that. So I appreciate that. You know, it's always out there to help. I think, you know, again, what I see across the board, you know, just talking to different experts, and this is not in what I just do. Like, you know, I look at everything. You know, law firms need to start focusing more. And I know people that do this really well, but if I'm the marketer and I send you a lead, like, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, you all need to start looking at the whole life cycle and customer journey, client experience. And if you paid to get a lead, whether it's organic or directly paid for it from a PPC ad or LSA, whatever, it doesn't matter. You paid for the lead. What did you do with the lead? How did you convert the lead? What was the whole process in the sales cycle all the way to now they're a client intake, right? Intake. And then what's that experience all the way through? And can you track to make sure that they left a 5-star review and that they're now a referral source? And so every lead, you should be thinking, how do they become a referral source? And everything in between, how's that client getting taken care of? Making sure that they're always up to date, that they're educated, that we walk them through the whole process. And that even goes with empathy on the phone with someone that just called, is the worst situation potentially in their life. How are your folks answering the phone all the way through? That is your brand and that is your marketing. That all those things together. So if you hire my company, we're at the freaking front, but we can't do much to help with all the other stuff. And so our best clients have that stuff figured out, and it makes it easy to be like, hey, here's some more leads. We can crank that up, but leads are not always the problem. There's so much deeper things that go to the rest of it. And so it's a lot. It's a lot to digest, but you have to be working on all those things always. Like, there's never going to be a perfect situation that you had that all figured out. So if that's your mindset, you're going to be successful and the marketing becomes so much more or much easier.
Yeah, having experienced personal injury myself and going through the whole process and interacting with my lawyer and their firm, you know, the client experience is incredibly important. And if you don't have that down, and I mean, it's important in any business, you know, it's something we harp on here. You're going to have a problem if you're customer experience is not a good one, particularly for people who've been through something catastrophic. Typically, I just know from my own experiences like that. And two, you know, you talked about a lot of different things. I assume, and we didn't really talk about this directly, but other guests I've had on have harped on this, is the metrics, knowing your metrics, knowing how your leads are converting to signed and retention and all those things are so critical to leveraging every dollar that you're spending in a business. I know that's pretty general for business overall, but pretty critical when you're spending all this money, particularly personal injury law firms, on trying to get those opportunities.
100%. So, you know, what's your average client or case worth? Yeah, what's your close rate? You know, have you called and tested, you know, how long does it take someone to answer the phone, and what's that process look like? So in what ways are you intaking a lead and how are those being monitored? And, you know, where's your strengths and where's your weaknesses? You know, so just because you add chat or some other way, like, is that being taken care of? Or is it something you're not able to be on top of? Maybe it's something you shouldn't have. So I think, you know, especially for a smaller firm, if you don't have a lot of resources, you know, start with things that you can do. Hire a company to answer the phone, right? So But yeah, looking at all those metrics and get as much data as you possibly can to make decisions to say, hey, if I want to spend an extra five or 10 grand this month or 100 grand, you know, what am I expecting from that? What does that output look like? And, you know, is it going to make sense to make that investment? So yeah, dial those things in. Have a separate CRM for your sales for leads versus clients. You know, I think a lot of firms don't even have that. They just have, I got Clio. Well, yeah, they're not a client yet. So what are you doing to track and follow up with your leads? 12 touch points because they didn't call back or they didn't answer the phone right away.
Well, if anybody listening today has questions about some of the things that you talked about, needs some help on the marketing end for their firm, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, you can go to arraydigital.com. This is my website. You can contact us there or you can book a call with me right off the website, actually. I still participate in talking to new clients and making sure everything's a good fit. LinkedIn, just Kevin Daisy, that's Daisey. Or ask Jason, he'll hook you up with my cell phone or anything else you want. So just happy to help. And if it's just questions, if you're just getting started or if you're, you know, one of the largest firms in your state, we work with all of them so I can help you in some way or another.
Well, Kevin, thanks again for joining me today. And we'll see everybody on the next episode of Trial Lawyer View.
Here is another episode of Trial Lawyer View. We hope you enjoy today's guest and discussion. Tune in to our next episode for more helpful insights from fellow trial lawyers and practice experts. This podcast is brought to you by Synergy. Visit partnerwithsynergy.com to learn more about how Synergy can free your firm to focus on what it does best.